Today's Daf Mesechet Ta'anit, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Daf Yud Zayin. And we're holding right up there, almost at the very top. We had just finished the last sugya, and we got up to Tana, Yesh Machlifim Tzaka Le'Eliyahu, and Tvila Lishmuel. So what we had said before, that when we're talking about Misha Ana Lishmuel B'mitzpah, so it says that the bracha that we say to that at the end is the idea of tefillah. So we say, Baruch Shomea Tefillah. And when we're talking about Eliyahu, we were saying, according to this, we're saying the opposite of what it said in the Mishnah, and it was Baruch Shomea Tzaka, which doesn't really make much sense, because I understand by Shmuel you could say tefillah as well as Tzaka, because we find both Lashonot when it comes to Shmuel. Because when Shmuel called everybody to mitzvah, so he said, let's get together at the mitzvah, and I'm going to be mitpalel, ve'et palel ba'atchem. And then it says, l'maisa, by Shmuel, it also says, va'yizak al Hashem kol ha'layla. So, I mean, it's a little bit of a problem, as Rashi points out. I must tell you, I always feel bad by calling this Rashi, because there's a lot of indications that it isn't really Rashi, and there's a Kabbalah that it's certainly not all from Rashi. But anyway, so the question is, I mean, it's supposed to match what took place in Mitzpah, right? Because it says Misha Nalishmu b'Mitzpah, so we would think that that's going to be what the bracha is. The question is, where does it say Tzaka in mitzvah? That's the question. Because over there it says, Va'at palel ba'atchem. So Rashi says that he was mekabel, again, it's Rashi, it was mekabel, that since that posik follows after the rejection of Shaul for the Malchus, so it follows the mitzvah, so it's as if it's written the mitzvah. I don't understand what it is, but okay. The point is that certainly it's nogea what it was that Shmuel did. But the problem is, by Eliyahu, it never uses the Lashon of Tzaka. Over there, when we're talking about Misha Anala Eliyahu, so it says a Lashon over there only of Tefillah, because it says Aneni Hashem Aneni. Over there, when he was davening with the Baal, and he was trying to show up the V'yei HaBaal, it never uses the Lashon of Tzaka. So how do we explain that? Says the Gemara, because the very Lashon that he uses in repeating Aneni Hashem Aneni, that kind of Lashon is a Tzaka. Please answer me, answer me. So answer me, answer me. It's not just a normal tefillah. It's a getter of Tzaka. And then on the sixth bracha, what do you say? Mishanat Yonah b'mehadaga. And al shvi'it u'omer Mishanat David v'tshlomo. Does that make sense? Everything else was in chronological order. It was an historical order of some kind, right? And now all of a sudden we're putting Yonah before David and Shlomo, where Yonah was at the time of Amatziah, and David and Shlomo were the beginning of the Malchus. So how come all of a sudden we reverse thing? Mirte, Yonah abater David v'Shlomo have. So he came later. So why don't we stick to the chronological order that we did with everything else? My time of Maktim Liberation. Because since the chatima of the bracha on David v'Shlomo is Baruch Atashem etc., Merachem al Haaretz, so Memela, the Merachem al Haaretz is much more appropriately introduced by David v'Shlomo, because both of them were mispalel specifically for Eretz Yisrael. Or Rashi brings another wonderful approach, which is that they were both Oisek in the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And the Binyan Beis HaMikdash is the Iker of Eretz Yisrael. So because of that, if you're going to say Baruch Merachem al Haaretz, so it should mention in context of David v'Shlomo. So that would be explained why the inversion of the chronological order. Now, the problem is that the Gemara now brings a braita that says, Bishum Sumchus Amru, that the closing bracha is not Baruch Merachem al Haaretz. It's actually Baruch Mashpil Haramim. So that this entire process of all of these tefillahs that we've been davening over the past seven brachas is in order that the people whose lev was not nichna, they didn't humble themselves to be zeichet to gishomim, that we're making a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be machnia our lev. So we say, Baruch the Mashpil HaRomim. Now, the Gemara does not explain, according to Sumchis, okay, so then how does that explain the change in the chronological order? I mean, they didn't specifically, were they involved in Baruch Mashpil HaRomim? What, to make people mushpalim, to do teshuva, and to be zeicher to matar? So it could be, the Gemara doesn't explain it. I haven't seen anybody actually address the question. But it's very striking. I mean, the only reason we brought up the Baruch Merachem Alaretz was in order to justify the chronological change. And now all of a sudden we're bringing in a new bracha and we're not explaining why it's justified. So, I mean, it could be, there's a number of possibilities. It could be that the Melachim specifically, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over to them the Oyvei Yisrael, who came always with Gaiva to attack Yisrael. So for them it's called Baruch Mashpil HaRomim. Or it could be also a remez that both David and Shlomo themselves went through these terrible nisyonos in which they had to be mushpalim. And David HaMelech went through such tzar, and Shlomo HaMelech was sent away from the Malchus, and even the Machlokas, if he came back, it was Melech v'Hedir, Melech Hedir v'Melech. So maybe, I mean, we don't want to, maybe the Gemara B'Davka didn't want to explain it, because it isn't nice to make mention of such a thing. But maybe that's the pshat, that everyone, because remember that David HaMelech actually says that the only reason I was nichshal in chet was l'man tzedak bidvarecha. Because you said that you wanted people to be able to learn teshuva from me. Okay, so then if that's the point, so it could be that that's mamish what it's referring to, and that would explain why the Gemara doesn't even ask. Because, I mean, it's really strange. We're in the middle of explaining something, and we just say, a b'raisa sumchas comes up with another reason, which is a contradiction to the whole point that we were making, and it doesn't address it. I would imagine that that's probably the real pshat. Okay, the next thing that the Mishnah says is that shalosh taniot harishonot, Anshei Mishmar Metanim Velo Mashlimim. So we have the Machlokas over there. What is the difference between the first three, the middle three, and the last three in terms of the Hashalama and the difference between the Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Beit Av? So the idea that there's, we said that at night, that the Anshei Mishmar are allowed to drink at night. So I understand, like, why is that? I mean, l'chora, m'manevshach. I mean, shouldn't they, if they're going to be zoyer, that they have to be on call, so then how can they be drinking wine at night? They might be on call at night. So why do we say that the anshei mishmar can drink at night, but not in the day? Because, shemet tichbad avodal anshei beit av, v'yavov yisayu lahem, because during the day, we still don't know. At any point, all of a sudden, 500 people could come in at one point, bringing in karbonis, and now they're overloading the kohanim. So they have the WhatsApp group that tells anybody that's in the mishmar, we need help, we need help. And so everybody comes running. If they're going to be drinking wine, so then they're not going to be able to offer their help. So they're not going to be able to respond to the call. Masha Inkein, at night, we already know what the avodah is that's left to do from the day. Because you can't come in new korbanos in the middle of the night, and the male, if they weren't required, so then they don't have to worry, and they're not going to have to come running to help. This is their day. They're there day and night. So from here, we come up with a halacha that kol kohen, so if a Kohen knows which Mishmar and which Beit Av, and he furthermore knows for sure that Batei Avotav were Kvu'im Sham, which means two things, says Rashi. First of all, he has to know that his Beit Av wasn't Nifsal Min HaKohuna. You know, there's that famous Maaseh where Eliyahu HaNavi was watching all the Kohanim and the Minhag of Yerushalayim, that they would come up, they would go around Yerushalayim, and he was laughing. So somebody asked him, so why is he laughing? He says, there's not one Kohen Kosher here that's going around Yerushalayim. They're all psulim. They have no idea that they're psulim. There's a big problem, Lamaisa, in giving the Pidyon Bechor to a Kohen, because you have no idea if he's really a Kohen. You know, he thinks he's a Kohen. It could be he's a Cholol. It could be that he doesn't have a reliable Yichus, whatever. So the Yodea Shabbatei Avotav Kvuim Sham means two things. First of all, he has to know that there weren't any Psulim in his Yichus. And remember this, I mean, this can go back for generations. And furthermore, not all of the Botei Ovais, all members, were given a specific time. They had to be assigned and they had to be passed on by the Beis Din in the Beis HaMikdash. They had to be examined, and they need to know that it's not just enough to be able to trace back your parentage. You need to actually know that you were part of that Beit Av and that that Beit Av was assigned that particular day. So if you know that, so then even today, you're not allowed to drink wine, because if the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt suddenly, and that's what it says in the Pasuk, that Pitaum, all of a sudden, the Beis HaMikdash will appear. Okay, so then you have to be on call. You should be on call nowadays also. Suppose he knows what Mishmar he's in. He does not know which Beit Av he's in, but he does know that the Batei Avotav of his Mishmar were Kavuim. So that way he's not sure what day of the week. So then he can't drink wine that entire week, because maybe that day of the week is his. How about if he doesn't know either? He doesn't know which particular Mishmar. He doesn't know the Mishmar, and he doesn't know the Beit Av. But he knows, he has a Kabbalah, that his Batei Av was Kavua in the Beis HaMikdash. So he's not allowed to drink ever, because he could always be on call. So he would be Osir Lishtot Kol HaShana. Rebbe Omer, I say that Osir Lishtot Yayin La'olam, I can say any Kohen is never allowed to drink, ever, Mi'ikar HaDin, because you don't know that the Mishmarot are going to be Kvu'im according to the original Seder. The Beis HaMikdash is built, there could be a new Seder, not to mention the fact that you don't think there's going to be a big shebang at the Chanukah of the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, you know, where they're going to call all the Kohanim and everybody will get together. And yeah, even if it's not your week, but it's a time in which all the Kohanim will be called. So they would never be allowed to drink. The thing is, Avomaya says, what am I supposed to do? Because of the horrific matzav that we're in, the bottom line is that takanato, the takana of this Kohen, that he should be able to drink wine, is because things are so totally ruined. Kakalato. So because we live in a time where it's so awful that here we've been planning for this Beis HaMikdash every day and every year and every century and every millennia, and nothing works. So what are we going to now make a takana? Kohen can never drink. I mean, he's going to look at us like we're insane. You know, like for 2,000 years, you know, we've been worried that today is the day. I mean, like, maybe today's not the day, huh? And I can have a little drink of wine. So Lamaisa, because of that, we can't answer something like this forever. This is how Rashi understands. Now, the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Chananel does not understand it like that at all, and there's many other Rishonim as well that agree with the Rambam. According to the Rambam, we're only talking about the Kohen who doesn't know. So the Kohen who doesn't know the Kalkala of not knowing, that's his Takana, because it's so many Sveikas, Sveikas. We're not going to ask on him. But Mi'ikar HaDin, that would mean that according to the Rambam, someone who does know is Osir even according to Rebbe. And nobody was Matir him. Okay, the bottom line is that today nobody knows. So because of that, for all intents and purposes, it boils down to the same thing, Halacha L'maisa. But it's a different question of attitude completely. Because, I mean, the way Rashi's learning, Rebbe is saying, oh, we might as well give up. That's awful. According to the Rambam, it works out very beautifully. The person doesn't know that his Mishmar was Kavua, and he doesn't know when his Mishmar was, and he doesn't know when his Beit Av was. So he's completely detached. I mean, he's so detached that Kalkala basically makes the suffix not a reasonable thing that he should have to worry about him, and he's got no connection to the whole thing anyway. Okay, that's a different thing. L'maisa, I mean, the Chofetz Chaim, as you know, the Chofetz Chaim wrote many, many pamphlets and svarim about the importance of planning for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and that it's necessary for all of the Kohanim to be versed in all of the dinim of the Aveda, and because of that, there's many, you know, kailulim today that bedavka oisek for Kohanim in the Aveda and the dinim of the Aveda, and so on, and the preparation for making the big day kahuna, and for learning how to make the k'teres, and to do the korban, and so on and so forth. So as we're mitkarev to the geula shleima, so then it becomes more and more relevant. That works out, according to the Rambam, much more powerfully. L'maisa d'raavad, Tainas, you know, like, what is that supposed to mean? That because he doesn't know. I mean, what, you don't think that there'll be enough cell phones around that the Beis Din will be able to tell every Kohen when he's supposed to come? But you think that the technology is going to be chaser when Mashiach comes? Tainas d'raavad on the Rambam. Why will it take time to let the Kohen know what his Beit Av is? So he doesn't know. So what? It could still happen today. The Rambam is saying that it's going to require time. It's not just a question of his attitude. It's going to require time to work out when he's supposed to be there. So, I mean, the Beis Yosef says over there, the Kesef Mishnah, it says over there that even though that's true, but still, well, it's not just a question of knowing. It's a question of working it out and getting all of the Mishmoros to agree. And remember, it's called Levad Mimim Karav Alavotav. So it's basically an exchange. I'm going to work on this day in exchange for your right to work on this day and vice versa. That's not something that you just make a decision on. And so because of that, it's a process that takes time. He understands that that's the point of the Rambam. So that it's the fact that you won't be called upon because it's going to take time to assign you. So because of that, it's not really nogea, because you're not going to be called instantly. Even if the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, you're not going to be called instantly. Fine. So Omer Abaye, Kaman Shatra Idna Kohanei Chamra. So how come we see nowadays Kohanim drinking wine? That's going only Aliba de Rebbe. Tatakanato is Kilkulo. According to Rabbanan, it says there also. Anche Mishmor Vanche Mahamad Asurim Nesaper Lechabes. But b'chamishim utarim ipnei kvod haShabbat. So why are the Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Ma'amad not allowed to take a haircut? I mean, isn't it a covet for the Beis HaMikdash that if their hair is too long, that they should be able to take a haircut and so on? So why do we answer them except on Thursday? Omar, Rabba, Bar Bachana, Rabbi Yochanan, because if they think that they could take a haircut during the week that they're on duty, so then they'll come to the Mishmar without having taken a haircut before. We want them to show up to the Beis HaMikdash with clean clothes and looking wonderful. And that's the covet. Kedei shelo yikantsu lemishmartam kesheim menuvalim. Now, what actually is the time at which a person should take a haircut for people who are doing the Aveda? So the Melech, we know the Melech needs to take a haircut every single day. Mistaper b'chol yom. My taima, Omer Baba Bar Zavda, Makro, Melach biyofyo techazena einecha. Look, the posik in Yeshayo is mechayev us as part of the dinim of the covet of the Malchus and the order of the Malchus, that the king is supposed to be absolutely perfection in terms of his personal appearance and his beauty. So because of that, he can't go a day without a haircut. Every hair has got to be in place. Because of that, he gets a haircut every day. Kohen Gadol, every Erev Shabbos. Why? Omer Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, because the Mishmarot are going to be coming in on Shabbos. So Memela, when the Mishmar comes in, they should see the Kohen Gadol in his maximal Yofi and Hadar in order to be Mechabit the Kohen Gadol. So he should be there for the new Mishmar in perfect shape. A normal Kohen, a Kohen head yet, Achat L'Shloshim Yom. Where do we get that from? We learn that out from a Gzeira Shava of para minozir. So, since it says, Verosham lo yigalechu, upera lo yishalechu, so in Yecheskel, when he's describing the third Beis HaMikdash, in the Aveda of the third Beis HaMikdash, so he says over there that the Loshen is they should not throw out their unkempt hair. Lo yishalechu. And where do we find that there's a Loshen of para in the Torah? Kedesh yeh. Gadel para sa'arosho. He has to grow para. He has to let his hair grow wild. The nazir. And we know that the nazir, para means 30 days. So that's b'chayavas 30-day growth. So it says para lo yishalechu. It means that they shouldn't let their hair grow more than 30 days. So malahalan shloshim, afkan shloshim. How do you know, by the way, does it say anywhere shloshim in the Torah that a nazir is dafka shloshim? Omer of Matzna, well, we have a Kabbalah that's Tam Nezirut Shloshim Yom. And we know Hoklom Shmi Sinai. But there's a remez in the Pasuk. Minolam, Omar Kra, Kadosh Yihiyeh. And Yihiyeh is Begematria Tlatim Ave. So that means that his para should be Yihyeh. It should be for 30 days. So that means that every 30 days you should make sure that the Kohen is not begetter a para, shlichas para. Omelet of Papa, I understand. Maybe what it's saying is, maybe the Torah is saying in Yechezkel that para lo yishalechu means don't let your hair grow wild, which means even one day of wild growth. It needs to always be in order. So maybe it should mean like the Melech. I mean, you're saying that para lo yishalechu means it shouldn't be wild for 30 days like the Nazir. But maybe it's called para when it's just growing wildly. And then it shouldn't be able to grow at all. That's how Rashi learns. Tosis understands that the question is, maybe it means that you can't let it get to the growth of para of 30 days. And therefore, you would have to have a haircut not once every 30 days, but the 29th days, because you can't let it get to a state of para. Look, if the Torah had said, don't let your hair grow wild. Okay, fine. But that's not what it says, is it? It says para lo yishalechu, which means you can have para, let your hair grow wild, but don't let it go all over the place. Shiluchi hudelo mishalchi. It should not get to the point in which it's out of control and fucking, you don't have to hold your hair up, Gav, it's fine. So you should not let it get to the point where it's completely out of control and falling all over the place. So it's shaluchehu delo lishalechu, means it can be para, but it shouldn't be allowed to go beyond that. That's what it means. So wait a second. Didn't we say that the Kohen is not allowed to drink, according to the Rabbanan, right? Because he might be called upon to suddenly appear, whether it's at the Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash or at his time, whatever that was the Machlokas Rishonim. So yohoki afilo ayid nanami. So then we should not allow Kohanim to go without haircuts nowadays either. Well, no, I mean, it's compared to Shetuye Yayin, right? I mean, the idea over here is it should be, first Arkasha is, before we even get to that point, maybe it's Taman Isser for Kohanim to be Sholeach Pera. Where does it say it's only B'Shas Avodah? Maybe Mi'ikra Din, they're not allowed to drink, and not allowed to grow hair. I understand the drinking, it says Beferish, when you go into the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe they can't grow hair at all, based on Yechezkel. So Yalkei Afilo Yid Nanami at all? No, because it's compared to Shetuye Yayin, even in Yechezkel. Yechezkel's not coming up with a new din that Kohanim cannot have long hair. He's just saying that, just like Shetuye Yayin. I mean, those two psukim go together. It says the para lo yishalechu, and then the next pasuk continues v'yayin lo yishtu. So that's Kohen that is ba'al shaseini. It's bavo amalachat rapti meat. It's not a general iser. That's for sure. So okay, fine. That I understand. But why aren't Kohanim Asr? Because they might be called upon. How about that? Vatani Rebbe Omer Omer Ani Kohanim Asr Mishtot Yain La'olam. Avoma Ese Shatakanatoka Kalato. And Abaya said that means that nowadays the only reason Kohanim drink wine is because of the fact that they're relying on Rebbe. Okay, but according to Rabbanan, it should Lamaisa be Asr. So Mechal the Rabbanan Asr. So how come the Rabbanan don't allow Kohanim to drink, but they do allow them to not get a haircut? Why is that? Oh, that's obvious, because look, I mean, what was the whole basis of the Rabbanan saying the Kohanim can't drink? Because Mehera Yibane Beit HaMikdash, Ubeina Kohanah Roi Lava Devaleka, I understand. Okay, so if you're drunk, there's nothing you can do about it. But what happens if you don't have a haircut? So they'll put up 1,000 barbers in front of the Beis HaMikdash, and every Kohen that comes in goes to the barber shop, and he can come in. I mean, like, therefore, he should never be allowed to have hair. I mean, that's crazy. He could always go in and have Shidim HaSabravayo. Wait a minute. So then Shesuya Yayin can also, I mean, they can have a nice cup of coffee, you know, and they can run around for a meal, and they can go to sleep for a little while, and then they can go work, no? So Shesuya Yayin Nami, after the Gunipur Tavayo. Because, I mean, Rami Bar Abba said, Derech meal. So if you go for one meal, or if you go to sleep even a little while, that's Mefiganus Ayayin. That takes off the effect of wine. And therefore, a Kohen could always do that. Yeah, but you forget that Rav Nachman said that Rami Bar Abba is only true in a very special case, will you drink less than a revius? That Omer of Nachon, Omer of Arvua, Lo Shana, Lo Shishatash, Yuraviit. So if you didn't drink more than revius, exactly revius or less, okay, fine. But I mean, like, what are the chances that the guy, you're going to allow him to drink, that he's only going to drink precisely a revius or less? Yoter mi revi'it, it gets even worse if you take a, walk or you take a nap, and you're going to get worse. So koshikin derech matridato and sheinam shakarato, you're completely confused. You wake up in a daze and yeah, you don't know what you're doing. We're certainly going to, that Kohen is not allowed to do aveda. So therefore, according to the Rabbanan, he should never ever be in a state in which he drinks at all. Ravashi Amar. Ravashi says that's not the reason. The reason is that shesuya yayin is mineu bay more chomer than the problem with the haircut. Because shesuya yayin, they're mechalal the aveda. So if they would do the aveda, it would be posel b'di avad. So there, gozubu rabbona. Prue rosh, we're over there, they're over on an iser, but they're not going to be mechalal the aveda if they do it. So there, they're lo mechal the avoda, lo gozubu rabbona. The rabbona didn't answer them to always be, that forced them to always be in a state of aveda. Okay, is that true? That you're not mechalal aveda if you allowed your hair to continue to grow without a haircut? Meitve. Elu shein b'mita, it says in the Brayta like this. The following kohanim who do the aveda are chayev misa for doing aveda. Shetuye yayin ufruei rosh. Now hold on a second. Are you putting together pruei rosh with shesuye yayin? I mean, I understand. So yain, it's a beferish of posik. It says yain v'shechar al tejt v'lo yamutu, right? So it says beferish that you're going to be chayim mis b'dei shamayim. But prue rosh never says anything about being chayim misa. So where does it say that there's a chayim misa by prue rosh? Ah, that must be because of Yechezkel. Rosham lo yigalechu, pera lo yishalechu, and then immediately the next posik, v'yayin lo yishtu, so that means we have a hekesh of Prue Rosh and Shesuya Yayin. Just like Shesuya Yayin is a Chiyav Misa B'dei Shamayim, Av Prue Rosh is a Chiyav Misa B'dei Shamayim. And if that's the case, so then you have a hekesh, Umina. So then what's the obvious conclusion now of that hekesh? Marshtu Yayin de Mechal Avayda. So why does Rav Ashi say that there's a difference between the Takonas Chachomim when it comes to Purei Rosh, which are not Mechal al Aveda, versus Shesuya Yain, which are Mechal al Aveda? If the whole basis is the Hekesh, so then Ein Hekesh L'Mechza. So this next piece, which is assuming that the Hekesh would only be in terms of the Chiyuv of Misa and not for Chilul, is actually taken out by the Achronim, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin asks the same question, and it answers Kasha. You're right. We don't have an answer like this, so apparently this is not the correct Girsa. So they put in the word Kasha instead of this whole piece, Ki Iskash Lamisa, Avlokule Avodah Lo Iskash, so the Marshal, and later the Marshal, takes these out. Okay, so we're left with that question. So we still have our answer before, but I don't understand. What do you mean? We know the din of the Chiyav Misa, and we know the din of Mechal al Aveda from Yechezkel. How do you learn anything out from Yechezkel? Normally, Ravina Lervashi, I understand it. Before Yechezkel showed up, I mean, Yechezkel's a baby. I mean, he was just born. What happened to the Torah before Yechezkel? So, Mikami does Yechezkel, man, Omer, but all of a sudden the Torah needs Yechezkel. So how did we know this halacha? Certainly a Novi is not allowed to be Mechadish. It's a new halacha. Omer Lei. Look, and you really think that's a problem? And when Rav Chista said that a Kohen who does not have a bris milah because he's from a hemophiliac family, so he's a complete onus. So this idea, or someone who is meruchak from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't learn this from Teras Meshe Rabbeinu. Doesn't say that, but we do learn it midivrei Kabbalah, and that is that it says, Kol ben nechar, Era Lev, Ero Basar, Lo Yavo, El Mikdashi. That's another thing that we learn from Yechezkel. So, I mean, it's the same question, no? I mean, Homek Amidas Yechezkel Man Omra. How come everybody was listening to that drosha? Nobody is chalek on the dinim of the oral. So what are you asking? Now, obviously, we could have asked that question, but we take for granted that, of course, it's halacha l'meishim misina, gemara gomirla. Sometimes the divrei kabbalah, and some learn that this is why it's called divrei kabbalah, because it's still a kabbalah from the time of the original halacha, and therefore, when we said before that only when the navi is telling you something, something that you have to do, do we call it divrei kabbalah, that it should be clear that it's actually known to us before he even said it. It's a completely different way of looking at the word divrei kabbalah, but otherwise we don't refer to it as divrei kabbalah, like in the Mishnah that we spoke about yesterday. Why are we mechalek between the divrei kabbalah and just the words in Yonah? Okay, so that was Rashi's approach. So what you have to say is that it was a Gemara Gomer law that we had this back from Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. But Yechezkel v'asbechei akra. So Yechezkel came along and he was told to put it into a pasuk that it should be always in people's minds, because that's what Yechezkel was being Isaac there is in the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and the plans for the third Beis HaMikdash and the Achonis for the third Beis HaMikdash, and therefore Achanami. So obviously the din over here about haircuts is the same thing. It was a Gemara Gomer law. So all of these halacha, the Chiyuv of Misa, that was actually halacha l'meishim misinai, came along Yechezkel, and he was masmich in the pasuk. Now, this piece that we end with over here also is taken out, according to Marshal. It's taken out because of the same reason. It doesn't apply, it doesn't appear in Sanhedrin, but this would be a beautiful answer. Because it's not a pshat of any hekesh l'mech, it's not really a hekesh at all. It's just an esmachta. We can't make real hekeshim. And therefore, there was never such a Kabbalah. Then the Lachuli Avoda Lo Gemiri. That's what it answers. Now, he takes it out because it doesn't appear there. The problem is that in the Tosefta, it does appear. So this already has already a strong basis, but because of the Kasha from Yechezkel specifically. Now let's move on to the next piece of the Mishnah. So we had over there, Kol HaKatuv B'Megilat Ta'anit Lod L'Mispad, Lefanav Asur, Le'acharav Mutar. So remember, this is the whole introduction to Megillat Ta'anit. It starts like this. Tana Rabban. Ilein Yomaya Deloli Ta'ana Bahon. Here are the various days that we made a yontiv that you're not allowed to be misane. Umiktsat Hon Deloli Mispad Bahon. And there even some of these days to follow are even more chomer. You're not even allowed to say a hesped. And it starts Miresh Yarcha de Nisan Viat Manyabe, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the 8th day of Nisan, Itukam Temida. We were Zoicha in our Machloikas that we had over there, that we're only allowed to buy the carbon tamid from the money that we take from the Truma Chadasha. And because of this, we had a big problem, because the Tzedukim were claiming that individuals, and this was a big source of income for them, that the individuals can give a donation, and we use that donation, besides lining our pockets, we use the donation for bringing the carbon tamid. So when they were in charge, so this is, we had a big problem. Because, and their raya was, that it says, ta'aseh loshen yochin, right? So this was a big problem. And it was a massive convention, in which there was an argument about whether we can prove to them that they're wrong. And in the end, because of the pasuk, Reach nichochi tishmeru, lakriv li b'moado, what tishmeru is Lashon Rabbim. So finally, they had to admit that, yes, it's actually Lashon Rabbim. And because of that, we made that time the holiday that during that machlokas, we were finally zocha to force them to admit, itukam tamida, we were able to be Mekayim, the Korban Tamid, correctly from the Truma Chadasha that comes from all of Klal Yisrael. And that is such an important holiday. You're not allowed to say a hesped. From the 8th day of Nisan, all the way till the end of Pesach, we also celebrate Itot of Chaga de Shvu'aya, the Lola Mispadbahon. So that was the famous question about whether Mimochorat HaShabbat, according to the Baitusi, meant, as we've spoken about so many times, and that's why they tried to be mekalkel the zmanim for us. So it meant dafka b'mocharat haShabbat. It did not mean the Pesach. So they always wanted that it should come out. Pesach should always come out that the b'mocharat haShabbat would be the 50th day, and that way they tried to manipulate the time of the Rosh Chodesh. So there we were able to be be koveya and make it a holiday. And that holiday is also very choshev, and because of that, you're not allowed to fast, but you're also not allowed to be saying a hesped. Now, the problem is that this makes absolutely no sense. I mean, you say from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the 8th day of Nisan, it took him to Mida de Lodu Mispad. I don't understand. And if we hadn't made it Rosh Chodesh Nisan, I thought every Rosh Chodesh, you're not allowed to fast. You're not allowed to say Hesped, right? Because, I mean, it's called a Moed, Kiroalai Moed. So why would we say from Rosh Chodesh Nisan? We should have said from the second day of Nisan, no? Lomali Miresh Yarcha. Just say Mitrei B'Nisan. The Rosh Chodesh Gufay anyway is a Yontav and Aser. So what's the point? Ah, now here we understand why we're suddenly doing this. Because, remember, we had a machlokas in the Mishnah, legabe the day before and the day after, and how the day before and the day after relates to the days that are Aser B'Tainus and the days that are Aser and Hesped. And that's what we're leading into right now by quoting this whole Braita and having this Kasha. So it's a long lead-in. It's not that we're interested over here in getting into the details of learning the Braisa. Today is a Braisa of the entire Megillas Tainus. But since it immediately opens up with this problem, and the only way that we can answer it is that Rav says the reason that Megillas Tainus had to answer the Rosh Chodesh Nisan because of something other than Rosh Chodesh is because that way the era of Rosh Chodesh will also be answered. Because once Megillas Tainus says that it's also to be Mispad, so then it answers the Yom Shalafanav. And therefore, if they hadn't said that it starts on Rosh Chodesh, they would have said it starts on the second, then that means that the last day of Adar would have been Mutter. But now that they say that the new holiday starts on Rosh Chodesh, then the last day of Adar is actually ends up being Aser. That's why we needed to do it. I don't understand, but I mean, if Rosh Chodesh is a holiday and you're not allowed to say a hesped, so wouldn't anyway the last day of Adar be Aser? V'shalafanav, I mean, typically da'avi le'yom shalafnei Rosh Chodesh. Isn't that enough? No, it's not. You see, because the Rosh Chodesh, we don't need to Aser the day before. Rosh Chodesh is a D'oraisa. D'oraisa lo boy chizuk. The only reason we do the day before is so that people shouldn't come into being in a matzav in which they're fasting, think they can fast the next day. Nobody's going to make that mistake on Rosh Chodesh. Everybody's going to be machmer about Rosh Chodesh. So it's lobo echizuk. The Tanya, hayamim ha'elak tovim imegilat ta'anit. Those days, lifneim elachreim asurim. But days that are usher because of the din in the Torah, Shabbatot, yamim tovim, over there, ein asurim, but certainly the day before and the day after is mutter. How could that be? Isn't Shabbos more chomer? My fresh ben zelaze. Ah, halalo divrei Torah v'divrei Torah in tzrichim chizuk. Halalo divrei sofrim v'divrei sofrim are tzrichim chizuk. So that's exactly the point. And therefore, it's only in order to answer the day before. So besides it's being Rosh Chodesh, we want the day before to also be involved. Now, we see something remarkable from here, gentlemen. And that is that it isn't really true. This is another indication that the given reason is the real reason. Because the given reason that if we allow you to fast the day before, so then you're going to end up maybe fasting the next day. You won't end up fasting the next day anyway, because anyway, we didn't cancel Rosh Chodesh just because we made it an additional holiday. So people were not going to fast on Rosh Chodesh because they're never going to fast on Rosh Chodesh, like we just said. So how does it help? Why do we want to Aser the day before? What is the issue of Asering the day before? If we don't have a chashash with Stam, we want to Aser the day before? So you see that there's another element of the way in which the impact of the holiday is meant to be sensed, not because of a real chashash of eating, but rather because of a growing sense of the importance of the day, which otherwise we wouldn't have had. Otherwise, l'chor, it makes no sense. So now let's take the next piece. The next piece said, from the 8th of Nisan until the end of Pesach, we were able to work out that Shavuot should be at the correct time, and therefore it's osur l'mispadon. I don't get it. You're not allowed to fast on Pesach anyway, are you? So what's the point of saying that we made a holiday that extended all the way till the end of Pesach? It's meaningless. Just have the holiday until Pesach, right? So lema ad ha-moed, because the moed gufa is anyway a yontiv. So anyway, it would be usher. Amar of Papa, well, just like Rav said a minute ago, that the reason that we made Rosh Chodesh usher was to usher the day before, we make the entire yontiv usher in order to usher the day after. So he said it's le'asor lefanav. Hachanami, why did we make yontiv usher? K'day le'asor yom shela acharav. Now, at last, we get to the reason that we brought all of this up, which is that now it's going to be a question of how to understand our Mishnah. Because according to who, Keman, who is, therefore, Megillas Tainis following over here? If the only reason that we made these Yomim Tovim was to answer the Yom Shel Afanav or the Yom Shel Acharav, then we've got a problem. Because then it's only going Aliba de Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi, the Omer Bein Lefanav, Bein Lacharav Asur, so then it would be going Lechora according to what Rabbi Yossi said in the Mishnah. Because, I mean, the only way that Rav Papa was able to be Metaritz this was by saying that the reason that we extend the holiday through Yontev of Pesach is because that way you are Asur the next day. Mashenke in the Tanakam in the Mishnah, he said it never goes on to the next day. So then that means that the whole Megillas Tainis, he's saying, is going, the way Rav Papa is saying, is going Aliba de Rabbi Yossi. So then we're going to end up with additional problems, as we shall see tomorrow. But I just wanted you to be well aware of the fact that there's a good reason for what we're doing and connecting it to our Mishnah. Anyway, Rabosa, I won't keep you longer on a Hanukkah. May you have a wonderful, delicious geula on this day of Hanukkah. Giborim, biyad chalashim, rabim, biyad ma'atim. Ay, rishayim biyad tzadikim, toirim, tmeim biyad toirim. All the things, the last things you'd expect, because they always win. So, all of a sudden, things should turn around quickly, and as it says in the Pasuk, and then suddenly you bane Beit HaMikdash, you're going to have to run and get that haircut. So may that be our lot. Kol tov, everyone. Have a great, great day.